Forever Dog.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. My, oh, my. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
And they're cannot stop watching the Star is Born trailer.
Oh, you're talking about us?
Yes.
Yes. First thing Matt did this morning was pull up. I woke up out of my sleep. And I look over
and I was
across
watching.
The room, and Matt's watching the Star is Born trailer.
Okay, there's so much to say about it. And the thing is, like, it's my most anticipated movie of my life. And this is now replacing Dreamgirls 2007 as the movie that I'm most excited about in my life.
Interesting.
And it's been now over a decade, because it has to be a musical with a pop star.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they're giving me that, I feel very excited. And this trailer looks beautiful. And guess what? Here's a little piece of culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same DP as did Black Swan.
The same DP
Matthew
as did...
Matthew Libatique.
The same DP as did Black Swan.
That did Black Swan.
No, I know, but is that... How did you find this out?
Reading a lot of articles.
Okay, so you've done the research.
I've been reading a lot.
That's amazing.
We should say we're in Los Angeles.
We're back in LA for a little bit. We have some great episodes lined up.
We're far from the shallow.
We're
now.
We're far from the shallow now, as they say in the Star Is Born trailer. And
we're far from the shallow now. That was like a beautiful mix of Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga's voices that we just did.
The timbres mixed.
We gave Bradley Cooper tone.
Yes.
And Lady Gaga.
Operatic
vibrato energy.
Yes.
Now
our guest today is also a singer, also a vocalist.
Vocalista.
Okay, the credits.
They come rolling down.
They come rolling down, as we say. First of all, she has a show with the Skivvies on June 24th. Please check that out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she just finished up a concert at 54 Below when she was in New York, but she's performing with the Skivvies June 24th. Snap up those ticks. Also, she's just... I'm a preeminent mind, I would say. We'll talk about
preeminent
this.
Mind.
Science for her when it came out, like I withdrew my application from med school and I was like, what the fuck am I doing? But then like I read Science for Her and I was like, this is the funniest thing. I still think it's one of the
we
funniest things.
We were just
I've ever
screaming
in
the car. And also I was happy because, listen, this is not an I don't think so funny, it's just an observation.
Yeah.
The Uber drivers in LA, very chatty.
Very chatty. And all I wanted to do was share excerpts of Science for Her with Matt.
And we cut the driver out of a conversation very quickly.
Because I was like, no.
We were like, no,
sorry,
stop.
This is our moment. Okay, yeah. So anyway.
And then we laughed out loud and said select lines from the passage.
Yes.
That he can't possibly have understood.
Of course. She's a writer producer on so many shows. The Good Place, The Simpsons,
mm-hmm.
Silicon Valley, Kroll Show, previously... Parks and Rec. I mean,
yes.
I mean, there are those, but we're going to talk today about her, one of her biggest credit to date.
Ladies and gentlemen, for your consideration.
The actress, writer, producer, director
An
Emmy for Megan.
An Emmy for Megan.
Nominated for your consideration for outstanding actress in a short-form comedy or drama series and outstanding comedy or short-form comedy or drama series.
So much to talk about.
So much to talk about. It's our honor to have
Megan Amram.
Hi, Megan.
So happy to be here. I was just clenching my fists waiting to get in on the Star is Born trailer.
Okay, give thoughts.
First of all,
yes.
I've never heard a country singer with Lady Gaga's placement.
Nope.
Her vocal placement. She is just... It's so rich. That vibrato is just huge. Drive a truck through it.
We're going to get theater country.
And I love it.
I love it.
That it's in a world. It's like a science fiction movie in a world where country and musical theater has meshed. It's like a dystopian future.
Yeah. And honestly?
It throws me off a little bit. Still.
That they chose country music as the scene?
No. I love that it's country music. Yeah. It throws me off that Gaga chose to keep the Gaga.
Yeah, she's not doing country at
Absolutely
all.
Absolutely love it.
No.
I also love that she, in the trailer, says, you know, people love my music, but they don't love the way I look. And she's like a beautiful
she's
woman.
She's stunning.
I was watching it with my friends, and my theory is you never see her legs in the trailer.
What?
And I was like, what if a twist in the movie is that she's actually only a torso?
Yeah,
and that's
paraplegic.
What she's saying is like, my face is very beautiful. And I'm not saying that paraplegics. Well, no, I'm saying she's literally
she's just a torso.
Which is very beautiful. It's a type of person.
Yes.
It's a beautiful.
But I think that might be the struggle.
But they're burying the lead there by not showing that she's just a
torso. Wow, that would be an amazing twist. And that would be even more. They're saying Oscar bait. Awards bait big time.
Yes.
And I love it.
Lady Gaga just on her arms the whole time. I don't know. We'll see.
There are so many, because I've done the thing now where I've watched it so many times where I've, you know how, and the best part of the trailer is like the super cut towards the end she's screaming her song and and then literally there's like many cuts of different things.
Of her acting so hard.
Acting over here, acting over there.
Yeah, filling up the frame.
And there's a scene that I paused.
Where she's in the bathroom?
There's a scene where she's run out of a bathroom stall. She's in like a business suit with her hair up in like a tasteful situation. And she's bent over screaming. And I paused it and I was like, what is that?
Although we do see the legs in that shot, I believe.
We see her
legs. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Megan, I'm sorry. But
I really didn't watch carefully enough, obviously. No. I was focused on her face and her vibrato.
She could still be a paraplegic, and I'll tell you why. Because oftentimes, Hollywood, they can be very smart. And what they'll do is they film extra scenes just for the trailer to throw off.
You guys
fans.
Have been in LA for 2 days, and you already get how Hollywood
We're
works.
We're wise to
and
this.
I'm so impressed.
We're very wise to this.
Speaking of Hollywood, let's just start off the conversation.
Yeah, I love that.
By talking about an Emmy for Megan.
Thank you.
The buzz has been
definitely
a din of buzz, a deafening din.
It's hard to concentrate. There's so much buzz.
There's so much buzz.
It's like a white noise that just distracts everyone.
Yes, and white noise puts you to sleep.
Absolutely.
But none of us are sleeping.
No, it's like loud.
It's too loud. Do you find that maybe like the buzz? Well, this is actually a really interesting conversation to have because, you know, the subject matter is trying to win an Emmy. But now we got to that interesting thing of when the buzz sometimes takes away from the work. But this, it kind of feeds itself. And that's genius.
Thank you. I say this in the web series, but I really did make this to win the award. Yes. I was watching the Emmys last year. There's a bunch of new awards for web series content.
Yes, which is amazing. Beautiful.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, I'm not Lady Gaga yet.
No.
Right. I can't carry a full, very, very strenuously acted movie yet.
Yeah, looks like she really hurt herself.
I can, a lot of pulled muscles
pained.
On that set.
Yes.
But I feel like my skills are good for like 6 minutes at a time.
Yes.
Like I'm really charismatic for like 6 minutes.
Right.
So this podcast is going to be great for like the first chunk and then just horrible. But...
Yes.
So I think of myself as a web series auteur.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Emmy voting opens Monday, June 11th.
Yes. Okay, so this will come out the next day. This is coming out on Tuesday,
this
June
is 12th. Perfect.
So this is going to be perfect. This actually, this episode is going to be called For Your Consideration.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, good.
So I spent 1 day filming the series, and I've spent weeks now publicizing it.
I bought
a billboard in Hollywood.
Is that real?
Congratulations. It's real.
It's real. Go see it. It's at Hollywood Boulevard in Wilton Place. Here's the thing for anyone listening out there. It's really easy to buy a billboard that says anything.
Oh my God.
It is prohibitively expensive.
Cost prohibitive,
I spent more money on the billboard than I did on the series, but
that's the way it works.
Yeah. That's the way Hollywood works.
And you have to get out there and promote yourself. Like, remember when Melissa Leo bought her own For Your Consideration ads for The Fighter?
Yes, I remember that.
And guess what, bitch?
She won
the Academy Award.
Now, I have to ask, is there something that we as the viewer do not know that is more esoteric in the Emmy sort of, in the requirements? Is it really just, it has to have 6 episodes, it has to be on YouTube, it has to be uploaded before April, whatever it was.
Yeah, 27th.
27th. And then, I'm sorry, and then...
date that she'll live in infamy.
Live in infamy. Yeah. As FDR said. And what was the third requirement?
These are truly the only requirements.
Okay.
6 episodes. There's no minimum length.
Right.
And they have to be under 15 minutes each, which, you know, no problem, sir.
Yeah, no problem.
And they have to be uploaded at the right time. They also have to have scripts, which is why I heavily scripted my series.
If anyone, I
ideally wanted to send out the scripts of my series to the entire Emmy voting block.
Yeah.
It's more expensive than you'd think.
Oh, to send out the scripts?
I'm willing to. I just wish there was an email list you could just spam.
Yeah.
You would think that it's as easy as this, but it's not.
No, it's not. And I think that if I win an Emmy, I'll have the clout to make some major changes in the Academy.
Right, okay. Right, yeah. Right. Because there needs to be change.
There needs to be change. Now, I need to ask you, what do you visualize as the roadblocks ahead of you?
Yeah, who is competing with you in the category? Have we heard about that?
Bring down my spirit.
I'm sorry. No.
I think it's like good to be realistic.
I think it's harder to get nominated. I think once you get nominated, you'll win.
This is exactly what I'm thinking.
We're being realistic.
Okay. I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't know who else is competing in this category. Right. And come Monday, and if you guys are listening to this on Tuesday, race to your computers. Get in the Academy quickly. I am so curious to see if other people had the same idea as me, like that they'd be a good web series based actor or actress.
Right.
But I think there's going to be a lot of celebrities competing in this category.
Yeah.
And, you know, my name might not have the recognition that, say, a Natalie Portman.
I was going to say Penelope Cruz. Sure.
Yes,
I was going to say Penelope Cruz. Yeah.
I love her. Beautiful, yeah, she's so beautiful amazing. Woman.
Beautiful girl.
So I might not be, you know, a Penelope Cruz, but I think I have a lot of spirit.
Yeah.
But should I get nominated, I have set aside a slush fund to really, really hit the publicity home.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I never delved into the New York market,
but
which is so rude of me.
Yeah, it's really.
I was walking through Times Square recently, and I'm like, how do I get one of those big electronic billboards, Times Square? I could see it, just me waving at the tourists from far and wide.
Yeah.
So I'll be looking into that.
Please. Now, it will be historic if you are not only nominated, but if you do win. For you to win as a beautiful Korean-American woman.
Yes. Thank you so much for bringing this up.
We can confirm that we are talking to a beautiful Korean-American woman. And that's because that's how you've chosen to identify for purposes of your life going forward, or just, you know, are we seeing
just
so just if you haven't seen the series, which seems insane, but I did a 23andMe recently, and I found out I'm about 98% Ashkenazi Jewish, but I found out I was 0.1% Korean.
Not negligible. They included it.
They include it.
Jackpot.
And it's so easy to not include it, but they did.
They did.
Yeah. They wanted you to know.
So many things made sense. And, you know, I looked at myself in the mirror before that, and I always was like, what is that?
What is that about me?
Yeah. What's that?
There's a beautiful Korean thing about me. Yeah.
There's something fun in the mirror.
Yeah.
There's something fun in the mirror.
Spicy. Yeah. There's something. Yeah, a little paprika thrown in there. And I got my genetic results back, and it all fell into place. Now, here's something. I am a part of the Emmy Voting Academy, and I got an email recently that they were doing a panel with Asian American women who were in the Academy, and I realized they hadn't asked me. And it was a really horrible way to find out that I wasn't on the panel was by getting an invitation. It almost felt like they were rubbing it in, that they were like, we're inviting you, but you're not on the panel.
It's so emblematic, I think, of the industry and all the quote unquote steps forward that we're taking, where it's like, it's still so exclusive, even when, even the like diversity panels.
There's so much
erasure, and they're leaving out so many people.
They're a racist.
Exactly. Really? That's literally what it is. How dare they?
How dare they?
But I almost showed up and just like, went on the panel, I thought, you know what, let them have their time.
Well, you know, that's...
But it's not them, it's you are them.
Wait, you're right. I need to change the way I think
you
about
do.
This.
Yeah. And also, here's the thing. There's no such thing as bad publicity. And I think that if you had gone and made an issue of it, I think you might have been able to been nominated.
Well, I have some big things coming up. I really want to, in my web series, I also sing the national anthem, which I mean, is one of everyone's favorite songs.
Yeah, I love that song.
It's just like fun, carefree.
And different every time.
Different every time. You have no idea what's going to come out of your mouth.
Never.
I really, for years, I've wanted to sing the national anthem at a WNBA game because very seriously, I think it's super fucked up how much people make fun of the WNBA.
It is.
I'm not a sports fan, but I just in... theory love the WNBA.
Well, it is a punchline, and why? Anyway.
No, it's crazy. Yeah. They're amazing. But I really want to sing the national anthem at a WNBA game.
Mm.
But
We can probably make that happen.
Yeah, I feel like Los Culturistas has a big
well,
pull in the WNBA.
Let's just say that, like, we'll just say out loud that, you know, that's something, we'll put it in the atmosphere.
Yes.
Right, as they say?
I just also have to shout out, quick
go
side
ahead.
Note, is that I went to New York last weekend, saw what I'd estimate to be every gay person in New York.
Yeah. And they'll hang out around the Times Square area.
They are all huge fans of this podcast.
That's crazy to me. They certainly don't approach.
They don't approach us.
I'm going to tell them not to be shy, skittish little mares anymore.
Do you know what happens? Stop being a sly,
shy, skittish little mare.
Sometimes I will receive an Instagram direct message and it will say, bitch, and they just call me a bitch. What are you listening to as you stomp through Times Square? Because I will be listening to music.
Yeah.
And I feel music, and something about me that is very different and unique, is that I feel music all throughout my body.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Especially
never
when
met someone
when
like
it's
that.
A very good song, you can really tell. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it means that I'm a dancer. Maybe I should go on Dancing with the Stars.
I feel like you should be in A Star Is Born. Yeah, I feel like that's what that means.
Well, here's the deal.
Or Black Swan.
I would love to do actually
attack
both.
It.
Attack it. We did Black Swan on stage as a musical with the music of Chicago.
Yes.
Oh.
And who do you think was Natalie and who was Mila?
I think Bowen was Natalie.
Yes,
you're correct. Yeah. I have more Mila energy.
Obviously.
Because Mila, you know,
sexually
she
devious.
Feels the music in her body and like you know, she's very free and loose. And
right.
Bowen,
hair down.
Yeah. I do all my ballets with my hair down.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gets right in your face.
Yeah. And so then I have to respond to these people who
are like,
what are you doing? And I'm like, where are you? And then I don't get an answer to that. So now there's just these gays watching me as I walk on the street.
Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I'm very scared of Game of Thrones because of the violence.
There's a lot of violence, but there's like a sparrow system where it's basically like a unit character who has these people watching other people. And I imagine that there's some sort of sparrow system in Times Square
of
gay people waiting for you to jazz down the street.
Right.
Are you like really hitting the steps heavy?
Well, I just like to hear what I do is because I'm a very big fan of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
I like to lip sync, but I don't want to do it outwardly. Like I don't want to be like a crazy person like lip syncing the words on the street. But I will like in my brain picture myself performing the song. And so sometimes that just you know gets away from me, and I'll you know be emotionally. Yeah. That's I guess really what it is. I'm emotionally embodying it. Physically?
Okay.
I have a very heavy step. I've been told before that I need to sit down softer. I didn't break a chair. I have a history of older women telling me how to live my life. And I just am very sweet and take it very sincerely.
Yes.
But I was at like a movie screening outside and there were all these like deck chairs. And I sit down with my full force of my body. I let gravity really do most of the work.
Yes.
And the chair like folded up underneath me.
No.
And a woman behind me was like, maybe if you didn't sit like that, it wouldn't happen.
Oh my God.
And I was like, at what age do you become this
expert in chair
this
sitting?
Grizzled white woman who tells you how to sit.
Who has no concept of boundaries and tells a stranger how to place their gravity.
I don't like her at all.
Listen.
Yeah, just because I'm Korean, you can't.
She saw you and she said, "Let me walk all over this Korean woman."
I'm sorry, you're listening.
I'm sorry, beautiful Korean woman.
Beautiful Korean. We're quoting you. We're quoting you from the series.
Yeah.
I bent a stool leg, in San Francisco at a bar in Chinatown, and I have never been more humiliated in my own in a place where I meant to feel safe.
What was the stool made out of?
It was like clay. A steel stool.
Yeah. Clay.
Everyone, okay, the people I was with maintained that it was already like warped and like it was already that way, but it had, for some reason, it had been propped up to look like it was just structurally sound.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I as soon as I placed my weight on it, I ate shit and like I just like my
it
fell.
It feels
the
like their fault. It feels like the restaurant's fault. Have you sued them?
Well, I was with Blair, and Blair is a great lawyer now in San Francisco, and she was like, we could literally sue, and I was like, it's fine.
Why are you attacking it like that? Like why are you being nice? Why not?
It was
sue?
it was like a mom and pop Chinese bar, and like I did not want to make weight.
Do you think that it's a trap that they put there to make people think they should lose weight?
Oh my God.
Like maybe it's like an elaborate system. Everyone falls down on the stool.
That is so Chinese.
That'd be very California of them too.
It would be. It would be.
I almost sued an escape room.
Wait, how?
That's also losing? The whitest thing I've ever said. Okay, that's not part of it.
I love
escape rooms, which is like so stupid.
People shit on escape rooms all the time. Now they're like, oh, it's white people paying for struggle. And I'm like, no, I love escape rooms.
It's also
rooms.
Not paying for struggle. It's paying for like a puzzle that you've immersed yourself in. Please. Get over yourself.
Yeah, that's insane criticism of escape
rooms. It's very wholesome. And I love puzzles of all types. Yeah. But I was in an escape room in Orlando, Florida with my brother and his wife. And they were showing us at the end what we did wrong. Sorry.
Oh, I hate that.
Look, I'm flawed, just like any other beautiful Korean woman.
Yeah.
And a treasure chest that this man had propped up fell on my finger, and my finger started gushing blood.
Oh my God.
Which you can like, I'm going to show, not the podcast listeners, but you can kind of see the scar on my finger.
On her beautiful Korean finger.
Yeah. And I was just like, escape rooms are dirty because they're set up in like warehouses.
And they're always, a million people are touching them all the time. Yeah.
But the room I was doing was like horror themed. So I hope there's like my dried blood somewhere in the room. Anyway, it was fine. My brother's a doctor and he wanted to give me stitches, but he's not a hand doctor. And also he was my childhood bully. So I was like, no.
Yeah.
There's
you don't
so
trust
many
you.
Layers.
I don't trust you. It was really layered. But it's
I have
good.
A question for you. Yeah. So what is your role in the escape room? Because I feel that when you go into
this is such a good idea.
I feel like when you all go in there together, like my thing that I do, because I'm not necessarily like the smartest sleuth, but I am really
the best
good.
Lip syncer.
Yeah.
The best lip syncer.
I'm performing in the corner. No, but on our most recent trip to an escape room, they came over the loudspeaker and they said, you can also... to help look for like hidden
Easter eggs.
Yes.
We were here doing Easter, and then like part of the theme was they hid little Easter eggs around the room.
Yes. And so I was like, good, I'll look for the things hidden around the room. I'm not gonna find out the puzzle.
I also just like I wanna set the scene of like me doing an escape room with like six huge gay guys. And it was fortune teller themed, and there were so many scarves in it. And I feel like
That's
half of us just spent the time
admiring.
Putting scarves on. I am like very much like a home. I love homework. Like I love like math and figuring out more cerebral puzzles.
Yes.
I don't have great spatial reasoning. I never know which side of my body is like right or left.
Wow.
So I'm not going to be the one who's like doing a gadget.
I have a question. Because you are like low key, high key, like a gamer.
Yeah.
I would say
low-key high-key.
The reason I love escape rooms is because I equate them to like a real life like Zelda dungeon.
Oh my God. The first time I did an escape room, this is like not funny because I'm getting too sincere about this. The first time I did one was basically Zelda themed. It was the most euphoric experience of my life. I was like, leave this disgusting world behind and put me in like a Zelda room for an hour. Yes, please.
Yes, like that is like that is all I want out of
it. I really
want
to create escape. I'm like too lazy to do it, but I have a bunch of ideas for themes. Theme one is like general Hollywood meeting, which just to set the scene, if you've never been on one, it's like you get to a lobby at some building, and usually a woman is there to be like, can I get you anything? Water, Diet Coke. Mm-hmm. And then you just like sit on a chair and then you go into a meeting and talk about yourself and then nothing happens.
Yeah.
So I want it to be like you're in the lobby and all you have at your disposal is water and a Diet Coke, and you have to like figure it out from there. And then also haunted weed dispensary.
Oh yeah.
And like,
that's a good one.
Like you're blowing, you have to blow weed smoke to see like a laser light on the wall.
Yes.
There's like so many good options.
I think this is a thing that could really happen if you win the Emmy and your profile gets raised.
That's amazing. Wait, should I make an Emmy for Megan Escape Room?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my God. That's
really good.
Oh, but also just to put one more thing about the web series, I'm doing this, will come out after the show, but I'm doing a show tomorrow, Sunday at UCB. That's a screening and like a Q&A panel.
I love that.
Including my friend Andrew Law, who was cut out of the series.
Andrew was in it. Oh,
and
no.
Andrew is so funny. We did about a 2-hour long take of a scene that got entirely cut
out.
Why
was it cut?
Here's the thing. And my series is not like, there's not a high bar for what got in it.
Oh my God.
It was a lot. Andrew is a very, very good friend of mine. So I was like, we're just going to riff. Like, we'll be in my bed together.
Wait, what do you mean? Riffing. It was scripted.
It was scripted.
Yes. Yeah. We'll riff around the script. Oh my God. Thank you so much for reminding me.
Because I've seen the script and it's definitely
the script.
It's
so good. The script, it I'm really, really proud of the script. But we mostly, I was like, Andrew, how's your day? And he's like, not good. And I was like, why? And he's like, my cum's black. And I was like, oh, that sucks. Why? And he's like, from eating so much dirt. And then we just for like what felt like 2 hours talked about his
black cum.
And it was, it just, it didn't tonally fit with
I get it.
Because it's not about you winning an Emmy. Because honestly, you can't just, that was actually really selfish of him.
Honestly, he's a very selfish performer.
I have to really come out and say that was really selfish of him to not only like disregard your script with this improv, which I'm sorry, is like not an art form.
No.
Yeah.
And how dare he like not talk about like your Emmy, because that's
like
what the show is about.
He was in a different series. I feel like he just was, you know how you see someone in a movie or whatever, you're just like, different, they don't know what movie they're in.
Yeah.
It's like Andrew does not know what series he's in right now.
Yeah.
But at the show, along with Andrew, it will be moderated by Jane Lynch, who won
last year.
Is Jane Lynch
really moderating it?
I swear to God, Jane Lynch is moderating. She is such a sweetheart. She's very funny. I have not asked her this. I do kind of want her to bring her Emmy from last year so I can like hold the real one that I
think
want.
She has a couple, right?
She has a couple.
Oh, she must. But specifically, she won for the Outstanding Actress in a Short Form Comedy or Drama.
Can I ask one more question about like exactly what qualifies? Because I might have a series coming out and I just want to make sure it qualifies.
We went over the rules already.
No, but I need to ask another question about
the rules. I'm happy to help someone who wants to follow in my footsteps.
Because I think I said this to Bowen before we came here and he described me as a unique bitch in like a passive aggressive tone. So, and we haven't talked about it, but I'm really upset. I identify with you because I very badly want to win a major award.
Yeah.
And that's when I called him a unique
bitch. And I said, wow, what a unique bitch. And I was like, I smiled through it, but I was really upset.
I'm glad that we're airing it now.
Yeah.
And we'll have a more in-depth discussion about it later. But I feel that it was very Hollywood of him to be very passive aggressive. In New York, we're full-blown
aggressive.
Is Bowen
different in LA than New York?
Yeah, 100%.
I can tell.
He scowled at a man who was making my coffee today.
Because he took fucking forever.
I know, but it's LA, babe. You have to do this.
Yeah, he made a
patient face. He's on legal weed right now.
No.
Chill.
You need to relax.
He made a latte cocktail with like orange, like an orange rind garnish. I was like, this is outrageous.
Was it good?
Honestly,
it was for someone else.
It was for someone else. But I literally, I was being very LA and like I was like, I even complimented. I was like, that looks amazing. But Bowen, I could see he's kind of like very New York, right? In that moment. Yeah. But like,
am I different?
He was fanning himself with Metro cards.
Yeah.
Just like a full deck of them.
I guess you've really brought your New York, your evil New York energy to LA to be rude to this coffee maker.
Do you think Bowen's evil?
Okay, so can I tell you something?
Yeah.
First, let me ask my question, and then I want to ask another question.
Okay.
And there will probably be more questions after that.
Yes.
So first of all, I am thinking about making a web series that's 5 episodes. But does that mean I won't qualify?
Yes, you have to have 6.
That is insane.
Why 5?
I'm sorry, hun.
So wait.
You have to add another. I know, it's hard.
But it wasn't
something that was easy to script.
Right, no, I know. But here's the thing. So it has to be 6 episodes, but they don't have a minimum time limit.
Correct.
So essentially you could make less content and qualify.
Correct.
All right, I don't understand.
You can just do a clip show. I don't know what your series is, but just make the 5th episode a clip show.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good idea. All right, cool.
But why are you married to 5?
That's just what we've been writing down is 5.
Okay, okay.
I mean, if you're going to do 5, it's not going to be an award contender. You can put it out there. But you should do like a 2-part cliffhanger. Again, I don't know what your series is, but I have ideas for breaking it up.
Okay.
Now, you said you had a follow-up question?
I forgot it.
Okay, now, Megan, you didn't foresee this Andrew episode while you were breaking this season.
I thought that it was going to just be a more natural fit.
Okay.
And I didn't know how I was going to edit it necessarily. And I tried to get the Andrew scene in there, but it truly was just like nothing.
Well, there's no dramatic tension there because really all it is a dietary change for him. He'd have to stop eating dirt.
We were trying to be really grounded. Remember our UCB training of yes and, like,
react
like a person.
Yeah, right.
Rule of culture number 14, remember your UCB training.
Yes and. But it just didn't work.
It just didn't work. And I'm glad to have a public opportunity to hash it out with him.
This is new. Have you talked about this before? This is the first place you've talked about this.
I had to break it to him privately that he was not in the series before premiered because I didn't want him to like email his family or anything.
Yeah.
Be like, look, I'm in this award-winning web series and then watch with them.
Oh
and
my God.
Have to see the horror on their faces when they realize
that
he
would
wasn't
be so
in it.
Embarrassing.
So, yeah. But in that scenario that you just outlined, for him to email his family and be like, look at this award-winning web series, you would have, he wouldn't have been, he would have found out after
the
fact.
Yeah, the timeline's really confusing there. I have always been calling it an award-winning web series from day one, because I think you can like safely assume at some point, but.
And you put it out there in the world.
Yeah.
Now, I
remember my question.
Okay.
So, can I give a spoiler?
Oh, of course.
Okay, so in the last episode, our friend, your foe,
yes.
Darcy Carden, comes in, and it's very much, the episode really takes a turn when Darcy kills Megan.
Yes, that was the only part that was not scripted.
Wow, that's crazy.
Oh yeah, what's crazy is I thought we were just going to do, like, it's in my kitchen. I thought it was going to be like a Nancy Meyers type episode.
Yeah, you
where
had props.
Like, wonderful women.
Yeah.
Yeah, cooking, whatever. Yeah.
Wonderful women cooking.
And, yeah, Darcy went psycho. I mean, I hate to call a woman crazy. She went crazy.
Yeah, she
was. Crazy woman.
She's a crazy woman.
She poisoned me.
And white.
Killed me.
We should say white. She's white.
Yes. I mean, I've barely met someone whiter. She's like 6 feet tall, so it's like more white skin than most.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she killed me. And,
oh my God. That bitch.
I also like haven't seen Darcy since she killed me, and she's going to be in the show tomorrow. And I just like, I'm really kind of nervous, but also excited to get in a fight with her on the UCB
now,
stage.
Right. But I have a note for you, I guess.
Okay.
Whenever I enter a room, the first thing I think, and this is because of survival instinct, which I don't know if you know about the climate right now, but I think we need to start kicking in our survival instincts.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever I enter a room, I think about, okay, in a moment of like madness, like how would I kill everyone here? Mm. So I think you should have thought about that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, like you shouldn't have turned your back to Darcy, I don't think.
Even you feel like it's safe to do so when you're in a web series that's scripted that you're like doing the script for.
Yeah, and so many people watching you.
Yeah, you just like can't ever let your guard down even if you're in a web series.
And you were literally turning your back because you were putting together a set deck or you were gathering
props. Yeah, I was putting together a set deck.
And I think from what I can tell, you were just taking chopsticks.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, putting together a set deck is like a very complicated thing. It's like an LA thing, so you guys might not
we don't understand.
Know about it. But it stands for set decoration.
Yeah,
right.
Putting together set
decoration. Now I understand it a little bit more.
So yeah, the chopsticks were not exactly how I wanted them, so I was moving them.
Well, yeah, you need them to be. And so she took that opportunity to pour, I guess, cyanide in your drink.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but it did not taste good.
And it killed you.
And it killed me.
Oh, my God. Can I also say, like, so I just think for you, like, a good note would be, like, find out ways that you could kill people before they kill you. Just
that's,
like,
oh, my God. Well, season two. Here's the thing.
Did you just say season two?
I think I'm ready to officially announce season two. I feel season two ideally would come out before the Emmy voting is done. But no matter what happens. So, okay, Emmy voting is June 11th at 9 a.m. Pacific Daylight's time or whatever. Standard time.
Pacific Daylight time.
Yeah. It's 9 a.m. through, I think, June 24th. And then July 14th-ish is when Emmy nominations are announced.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I am ready for whatever happens that day.
Yeah.
I think that if I get nominated, I'm a shoo-in to win. And if I'm not nominated, then season two is going to be coming back bigger and better than ever. I wanted to have the budget of a real television show, and I have a lot of stunts that I want to do.
Yes.
I think that there's going to be some pyrotechnics. I want to use like the letterbox format like Master of None does.
Oh, right.
And I have a lot of stylistic
ideas
for season two. So
can I ask you a question?
Of course.
It's just outstanding actress in a short form.
Yes.
So this means lead actress and supporting actress is all, and all acting is combined into this one category.
But here's the other thing, and you might want to look into this for your series.
Yeah.
You have to be in like more than 50% of the episodes to count as outstanding actress.
Got it. So you were very careful to not allow any of the actors
to be in more than...
Because, you know, Darcy is very good in that last episode. Not to pull focus from you, because you were also amazing.
Luckily for me, And unluckily for you, she was not in enough episodes.
She's so not
she
eligible.
Could not submit for this series. Wow. But, you know, if I win the Emmy, I feel like maybe she should accept it.
No, oh, my
or
God.
Or maybe I think, like, awards are very complicated. Yes. Like, maybe I shouldn't accept it at all.
You know, that would be such.
That would be a very good.
Such a great turn.
You need to send someone important in your place, though, because like you have to do like a Marlon Brando.
Yeah, I'm going to send Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
As is.
Dead Marlon Brando. Like he's in like a little bag of blood.
Wheel.
We'll hit him up. Well, he's a fan of the pod. He's a famous.
Yeah.
He's actually
on?
Is gay. So, you know.
She went to Angels.
He's a beautiful gay ghost.
He's a beautiful gay ghost. And I'm beautiful now in the physical world, a beautiful little gay bag of blood. Yeah. So we're going to bring him in whatever form. But you know what I think is really good of you, though? She might not be eligible for this, but you are a good friend because you did raise her profile in a huge way for her own category.
This is a real story, is that Darcy was at Upfronts for the show that we were. Darcy's on The Good Place, which I write for.
More like the best place.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wow.
So wow.
Wow. So I'm going to write that down.
Such a good show.
But she was at Upfronts and someone came up to her and was like, oh my God, Darcy, I love you in an Emmy for Megan.
Oh my
God. And seemingly did not know that she was on a television show. And I was like, this is exactly what I want to hear.
You raised her profile.
Yeah. It was the best day of my life is hearing that story.
Between you and Darcy, there is just one. The delivery is so nuanced because you have a line that goes, this is written in the script, you say, did you like the script I sent? And then she says,
yes.
Not like I loved it, or like,
Yes.
That, so matter
we rewound it. We rewound it. We watched it again.
We were like, we have to watch that back. So good.
Darcy wrote that line. It's amazing.
Oh my God. Can I also say, like, how mad would you be if you won an Emmy for writing an Emmy for Megan?
Well, I literally had a dream like last week that the nominations came out and I was nominated for Best Web Series, which is functionally writing it, and not for Best Actress.
Oh my
and
God.
I was like, excited, but like kind of upset.
Yeah, no, I would be actually pretty furious.
How would the inverse of that be if you were nominated for actress but not for best?
I think
series?
That would be fine because that is the one that I'm really going.
Yeah, interesting. Because
I want to show my chops.
Yeah, that's
and
important.
I feel like that's the Emmy for your chops.
If you literally win an Emmy award for acting, huge. Yeah. Like think of the
think
doors.
Of
you
don't all get the bigger people than who that. Haven't won the Emmy award for acting. I'm like
Sandra Oh.
Yes, I'm going to be a higher profile actress than Sandra Oh.
Matt, you know I love to talk about
you
one of our sponsors.
Love this thing.
Guess which sponsor I'm going to talk about.
I know you're going to talk about Quip.
It's Quip. Oh my God, it's Quip. The truth is most of us are brushing our teeth wrong, not for long enough, and forget to change our brush on time. Mm. That's because most brands focus on selling flashy gimmicks rather than better brushing, but not Quip. So what makes Quip so different?
Well, I mean, for starters, Quip is an electric toothbrush that's a fraction of the cost of bulkier brushes, while still packing just the right amount of vibrations to help clean those teeth.
And of course, we've mentioned Quip's built-in timer helps you clean for the dentist recommended 2 minutes with guiding pulses that remind you when to switch sides or quadrants.
Okay, I didn't even know it was a two-minute rule.
It's a two-minute rule.
I don't follow that rule. I need to start following that rule.
You know when you go to the dentist and the dentist is like, it's the two-minute rule.
Okay, no, I never had that.
See, my dentist has literally never said that to me before, so yeah. Quip taught me what dentists should have been telling
you
all
absolutely.
Along.
And if your dentists have been telling you that all along, you're very privileged.
Very privileged.
Next, Quip's subscription plans are for your health, not just convenience. They deliver new brush heads on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5, including, get this, free shipping worldwide.
No matter where you
live.
Worldwide.
Worldwide, honey.
Quip also comes with a mount that suctions right to your mirror and unsticks to use as a cover for hygienic travel wherever you take your teeth, which is everywhere I go.
Oh, everywhere I go, I take my teeth. And if I forget them at home, I run back. And then I realize they've been in my mouth the whole time. Like, you know that thing of like, when you're like, where are my sunglasses? And they've been on your head.
Right.
Frequently, that's the narrative with me and my teeth.
But then it's still that thing where it's like you walk down the sidewalk and you're like, oh, did I leave my teeth at home?
Did I leave my teeth?
Nope, they're in my mouth.
They're in my mouth. Thank God. And you know, guys, listen, it's not just Bowen that loves Quip. Everyone loves Quip. They were on Oprah's O-List. They were named one of Time Magazine's best inventions. And it's the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association, that ADA.
That ADA
they
loves
love her.
Plus, they're backed by a network of over 20,000 dentists and hygienists and hundreds of thousands of happy brushers who use Quip every day. Can I tell you a true story?
Yeah, go ahead.
I went to my dentist back in Colorado. We have a very complicated relationship, but I was telling my hygienist all about Quip. She was not familiar. Mm-hmm. And she goes, that's interesting. And she was trying to like push this other like higher end brand on me. But I was like, no, I'm really happy with my Quip. But then what she did is she checked my teeth, and usually she has something bad to say. She's like, you're not flossing enough. There's stuff that's, I see some plaque buildup here. She literally had nothing bad to say about my teeth.
She looked at your teeth and said, no notes.
No notes. And you know why? It's because literally I use Quip.
Wow.
That is the God's honest truth.
And here's the deal. You guys need to start using Quip, and we have an offer for you, baby. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/dingdong right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush.
That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/dingdong.
I'm gonna spell it out for you, bitch.
Come on.
Because I know that some of you can't spell.
Dyslexic ass.
Spelled getquip.com/dingdong. DINGDONG. And now you have no excuse. And if you forgot how to spell it, hit a little button on your screen that says reverse 15. This will go back 15 seconds and you can hear my beautiful voice say how to spell it again.
And you might have overshot the 15 seconds. Like we might be talking about my dentist trip.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Just so wait for it. Just wait for it.
Get quip.
Unbelievable.
Bless. Unbelievable.
I just want to say like, is there an award that we can win for podcasting, or were we snubbed?
Webbies. Oh, we were snubbed by the Webbies.
Were you nominated?
We submitted ourselves. Our reps submitted us.
Did you read all the
allegedly
rules?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, I mean, someone on the team like probably like looked into it and they were like, okay, this is all above board. Let's submit them. But we didn't.
We received no nominations.
I'm happy to put my publicity force behind you
Thank
guys
you.
For next year.
Thank you. What does that entail?
My own personal money buying one billboard.
Thank you. That's one of the most cost prohibitive things of this whole promotion,
right?
The campaigning process.
If you want a Webby, we could be the first. I don't think Whoopi Goldberg has a Webby.
No, she doesn't. She really doesn't. I don't see her working towards it either. So listen, I mean, if she doesn't want to work for it, that's part of the biz.
There
that's
you
part
go.
Of the industry.
Absolutely.
She really doesn't work hard. I already know what I would say if I won an award.
What? Come on.
You want to know my first line?
I do. Yeah.
So I would be so surprised, even if all the pundits like Sasha Stone, Nathaniel Rogers, even if they all said like, it looks like it and it's Matt Rogers to lose, I would be surprised even if I'm not. That's
okay.
Part of like
but
my
what's, the, what's the first line?
I would go up to the, I would get my Emmy from, let's say.
Padma Lakshmi.
I was going to say Retta.
Retta.
But Padma.
These are both great options.
Yeah,
great options.
Yeah. So I would get my award and I would turn to the mic and I would go, for the next 45 seconds, I apologize in advance.
No, Matt.
That's so good.
It's
I might
really
steal
good.
That.
Yeah.
I really want to win because I really want to keep saying it was not about the award. Yeah. It was about the
community.
Scripts. It was about the scripts. It was about the art. It was not about the award. That is, you know, icing on the cake.
Yeah, my speech would be about how, as a child, I would grow up watching these shows and just wanted to be a part of the community. That's what my speech would be about.
I grew up listening to podcasts and just wanted desperately to be. It's like
part
you listen to
community.
Rita Hayworth on a podcast.
Yeah, yeah,
you listen
yes.
to Helen Hayes on a podcast.
Yeah, yeah,
oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, of course.
Legends.
Rita Moreno.
Oh, podcast Rita Moreno. Legend.
I think Rita Moreno just legit did WTF.
She did?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I want to listen to that.
Yeah.
I love thinking that Marc Maron and Rita Moreno were at like open mics together. And that's where it's very funny. From what WTF used to be, it'd be like, yeah, Rita and Mark just had like a really hard history in the New York comedy scene. Uh-huh.
You know who
Listen
was
to them
really,
rehash all of
really
it.
Good, and this will be a fucking fantastic segue, but you know who was really good on WTF was Anne Hathaway.
She was,
oh
she was great.
Who was similarly good, who as we scream and shout, she was so good in Ocean's 8. And you guys, we've all seen Ocean's 8.
We
and
have.
Now we're going to talk about
we're
it.
We're all under the table right now, yeah. Just like flat
we're,
on our backs.
We've slid off the chairs just like I slid
For
off
Anne.
My chair and hit every bump on the way down when the Star is Born trailer came on before Ocean's 8, I was fully wet and I
Yeah, it was a slip and slide down to the screen.
Ooh, baby, at the Arclight, honey.
And then, okay, so we saw it at the Arclight, and then you can go outside, and they have all the gowns on display from Ocean's 8. So if you're in LA...
Wait, I went to the Arclight, and I did not... I feel like I was so blown away by this movie, I did not even register the gowns. I, like, don't know where to start with this movie.
Okay, well, pick a place.
It was, first of all, it just was, like... I give it a true A++++ in experience.
Yes.
I cannot believe it has gotten not that good reviews because I was like, these are all just like crusty old men.
Yeah,
truly that's what it is.
Do not get what this is going for. The fact that it's set at the Met Gala is like the most genius stroke of storytelling.
We applauded when they when they showed the
building. It basically was just a drag queen show.
Yes.
The fact that it was like eight of the most famous actresses pretending to be in a movie, but they were just being like, look, it's me, Cate Blanchett.
Yeah.
And like, there's a scene where Cate Blanchett and Sandra Bullock find Helena Bonham Carter like eating Nutella on the floor.
She's like despondent.
And who was also fantastic. Amazing. Was so
did an
funny.
Irish accent just because.
There was
just
some great accent work in this movie.
Yes. Amazing.
And I was like, oh, you found your friend, Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I could not be either. But Anne Hathaway is a dream come true.
Yeah.
She's so funny.
So funny.
The plumpest lips this side of the Mississippi.
Huge lips in this movie.
This is my favorite performance she's ever done.
It is like perfectly self-parodying.
Yes. Yeah.
But she commits. There's a point where she just like makes herself cry looking in the mirror.
Yeah, yeah. Because she's like, not thin enough.
You're using all of your tools.
Yeah,
truly.
It's
for
amazing.
This movie.
There's also like no not to give spoilers. There's like no real conflict in the movie.
No,
it's just like
fun.
These beautiful women hanging out, having fun, and then also having more fun. And then also having more friends.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah.
It's like everything I want. Yeah. It's so gentle.
It really was so low conflict. There was never even a moment where I was like, fuck, 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 they're going to get caught.
No, 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 no.
Was that how Ocean's 11 was? Like, was there any conflict in that?
I think there was. I think there's at least peril that the heist isn't going to work. Spoilers.
Right.
And it's like, for this, you're just like, these are like, it's like Barbie dolls hanging out with each other. Not like aesthetically, but the vibe of just like perfect friends.
Yeah.
And then at the end, after the heist, they're just eating pizza together in a loft.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like, there's nothing more soothing. It was so soothing.
So soothing.
It felt really like was. ASMR. Or
it
something.
Was a salve. It was like.
It was a salve.
It was
but
a
it
salve.
Also, they, it's at the Met Gala that they're doing this heist. But then for like what I think is 40 minutes, they just show a fake Met Gala.
Yeah.
And
yes.
That is so funny to me that they full on just do like Heidi Klum is there in a gown.
Mm-hmm.
And they are giving the audience exactly what they want, which is like the Met Gala was like a month ago and I miss it. So I need another one.
I need another one. Also, you of course get Kim, all the Kardashians really, and like shots just like very present. It's like, that's the one, if I have one criticism, it's that I wanted to see... All right.
Yeah.
I wanted to see more celebs.
Oh, yeah.
I needed more celeb cameos.
I want more, like, the blending. Because it's also celebrities playing fake celebrities.
Yes.
I wondered at first if Anne Hathaway was going to play Anne
herself.
Hathaway.
Sure, that would have been genius.
It would have been amazing. But it's like, clearly they... I think I loved it in a very sincere way because it full force was like, we are going to give women and queer people exactly what
they want.
We're not gonna like just do like a girl cast Ocean's 11.
Right.
Mm. We're going to full on make it like a much different tone, which I thought was wonderful.
I loved it. It was candy.
I play this game, this like movie box office game online where you just like rank what you think the biggest movies of the summer are gonna be.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of messed up. I did put Ocean's 8 like third, like above Mission Impossible and like Jurassic World.
Is it doing well? Is it doing well?
I think it's doing okay.
Ugh.
It's definitely not going to make $1 billion, but it was like wishful thinking to me of like, also Rihanna.
I was just
going to
say also Rihanna.
Get her
also
on
Rihanna.
This show.
Okay, we need to get Rihanna.
We're going to get Rihanna.
We need to reach out.
Have you guys thought of that?
Yeah.
I've thought about it.
Okay.
Well, the thing is, I think that we have a lot in
common. She just
did
WTF. I'm kidding. Yeah, honestly, I think we have a lot in common. As my generation's Rihanna.
Me personally? Yeah. Oh, God. See, I think that's what's keeping me.
Yeah.
That's what's keeping me from
winning
acting and podcasting awards is because everyone thinks of me as an iconic singer.
Yeah, it's hard to separate you into your various talents because really you just think like umbrella.
Mm-hmm. So you think that that's something that she really thinks? Like she's like, oh, they're not going to take me seriously as an actress because I'm an iconic pop star.
Rihanna?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think maybe. She's like so iconic as like the type of person that she is that I feel like even the character she was playing in this movie was like Rihanna influenced.
Yes.
I want to see her as like in the hours.
Yeah, 100%.
Like
throw her in the deep end of the pool, see how it goes.
But she portrayed a believable sister. I believe that little girl was her sister.
Oh yeah, and I also lucky is that little girl who got cast as Rihanna's sister?
Oh my God. Anyone who had a bit part in that movie, our friend Will Steven was in the movie for 2 seconds.
I also am basically face blind, and I saw the movie with one of his friends and was going to lean over and be like, was that him? Yeah. And then was like, no, of course not.
No, it was him. Will. He was getting fucked up by Awkwafina in that.
That's incredible.
And I guess Washington Square Park.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Or I did it. I recognized
you did it.
A person.
You did it.
Face blind. I think it's a perfect movie. Perfect movie.
I think it's going to go to... It's in the same way that, like, Magic Mike XXL is one of my favorite movies mm-hmm. because, like, nothing mm-hmm. bad happens.
Yeah.
And it is, like, really kind and shows masculinity in a way that's really positive. I felt the same way leaving this movie, which was, like, nothing bad happened and everyone was friends.
It was joyful. And I loved that, like, you get the sense that they're going to remain friends. Like, they all get on the subway together. And, like, yes, they all go off and do their... Because, spoiler alert, they win, guys. Like, they get away with the heist. Like, that's part of it. Mm-hmm. But then they all go do the activities.
Yeah.
But you do get a sense that they will get together and, like, you know, eat more pizza in that loft.
Yeah, they're going to get together and go see Ocean's 8 100%. All together as a group.
100%. Or honestly, I bet they all get together and get stoned and see Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Which I'm actually really excited about, too. It looks batshit crazy.
I am really excited. I have a few friends who've seen it and said that it's good. Apparently, there's a scene where I feel like this is real.
God.
It might be in jest, where they like have a close-up on Bryce Dallas Howard's shoes, which are flats, to be like, we're not fucking around this time. She's not wearing
heels.
And I was like, that is hilarious.
No, I would never take her out of those heels. I'd be like,
no, they should be higher this time.
They should be higher, thigh-high boots,
like 9-inch stilettos.
Yeah, the flats lower the stakes.
Okay, yeah.
It's a de-heighten.
For me, that was like a highlight of the first movie. Like, there was like... Like the scene with Lauren Lapkus and Jake Johnson to me was the best thing about the movie.
Yeah. We talked about this with Gabrus. Like it took me out of the movie. You're like, oh, wait, this is a good comedy.
Yeah, this
moment.
Is like a great idea.
In a crazy blockbuster film.
And then the second best part of the movie had to be Bryce Dallas Howard's nude heels.
Oh.
Like that had to be.
I think that they should lean into them this time and like keep showing close-ups where there's no like mud or anything on them. And I also feel like she should functionally be like floating through the whole movie.
Yeah.
They should be like show her feet running. Look, director.
Yeah.
Should show her feet running, but like her feet don't really touch the ground. They get like a half an inch away from the ground.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's actually lock it in as a rule of culture. It's rule of culture number 79. Bryce Dallas Howard should always be in the nude heel.
She should get them surgically implanted.
Iconic haircut is now gone. And she's wearing like a ponytail, like a more functional, like dinosaur saving ponytail.
Yeah, but they can grab you by that pony.
I know.
Dude, that might come into play.
Obviously.
Now I'm thinking like a writer.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're getting a full master.
Also, but obviously a man wrote this movie if they're going to think that those dinosaurs aren't going to go right for that ponytail. That they've never been on a jog.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, shit. That's real.
Listen, I am so excited to go see the movie, and I understand
from
it.
Thanks for plugging my movie, Jurassic World.
I understand from it that they have to return to the island to save the dinosaurs.
Yes.
Because the island is going to explode.
Oh, my God. That is so crazy.
It's like a volcano island. And so they understand that they have to go back to the island, Isla Sorna, mm-hmm. to save the dinosaurs. And I don't know, bring them where? I don't know. But the island does explode, and that's what you see in the trailer is the whole island exploding, dinosaurs hopping in the water, and if what we're seeing is to be believed, the dinosaurs come back to society.
Oh.
That's great. And they, like, teach them how to be real English ladies.
Yes.
Or, like, My Fair Lady.
Or they eat everybody, y'all.
Or BD Wong comes back and... Like invites them to his all Asian brunch.
I love that.
Wait, every was Saturday. BD Wong in the first Jurassic World?
Yeah,
yes.
He was in the first, and he was in, like, the original franchise.
He was sort of a villain.
Yeah. I think he is the villain.
Yeah.
This is, I was thinking in the car the other day, there's, like, not a line I wish I had written more than Clever Girl. I think it is, like, one of the best lines. It can be used, like, it's so good in the first movie. It's also so good as, like, camp.
Yeah.
It's, unbelievable.
Two words.
Think about that. When Spielberg was making Jurassic Park, he knew it was going to be huge.
Yeah.
And in the script, there's the line, "Hold on to your butts." And they said, you know, hundreds of millions of people are going to see this. Keep it. Keep the line.
He fought for that line.
We're going to stick with it. I mean,
the character would say it.
Yeah.
The character would say it.
This character would say it.
Every frame had to be, like, poured over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, let's really decide. And Hold On To Your Butts made it, and Clever Girl made it, and all these things. And it's just like, you have to be thankful.
Today don't have enough catchphrases.
You're 100%
right. I agree.
We're catchphrase queens, big time.
Like, Ocean's 8, loved it, but, like, give me a catchphrase.
Give me, like, Anne Hathaway, like, saying something like... I don't know. What's a good catchphrase she could have said?
Hold on to your lips.
Hold on to your lips. I think there's a sleeper quote catchphrase in Ocean's 8 when she's doing the walkthrough tour of the exhibit and the camera crew's following.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know what you're gonna say.
And you might need to help me remember.
How many carats are your diamonds?
Enough.
That was the closest we got to, like, a
catchphrase.
Yeah.
She gives you over the shoulder movie star glamour.
Enough. Like, so fun. Good. Okay.
It is life. Yeah, sorry.
It's so... No. We're going to say.
It just is... It is drag queens.
It's drag
queens. Like, everyone there studied at least Drag Race, if not immersed themselves.
Mm-hmm. You could do Anne Hathaway for Snatch Game.
Absolutely.
You could do, like, the heightened persona.
Did you guys
know
that I was on RuPaul's Drag You?
Yes, I did know this about you.
I was like, I feel like I have to not leave this podcast without bringing this
Tell
up.
Us everything. Who was there?
Well, I was, when I first moved out to LA like 7 years ago, uh-huh. I was on an extras casting website because I just was like working odd jobs.
Yeah. I still get emails from mine, casting networks.
I just wanted to do like weird stuff and fill my days and make money. And on the casting website was a casting notice for, like, are you a sad woman? Do you love gay people? Then sign up for this new show.
Are you a sad woman? Do you love gay people?
And I was like, check and check and checkmate. And I wrote an essay that was, like, mostly based in reality, but
it was essay driven, the application
process. It was like, you know, I exaggerated some things. And then you attach a photo and they called me in for like a in-person interview and they were like, don't dress up. Dress normally. So my normal was I wore full, like a red tracksuit, and then a huge knit sweater that had a big duck on the back. And I wore ballet slippers and my retainer and just like my glasses and looked horrible. I also like hadn't cut my hair in like 4 years or something.
And they said,
it was disgusting.
We love you.
And they were like, you know exactly what we're looking for. And so I was on an episode and Drag You, if you do not remember, which probably everyone does,
everyone
would have three women who the queens would make over into drag queens to give them the confidence of a drag queen.
Of course.
And it was a
perfectly...
single episode competition, and I did win my episode.
Yes!
I was
not a problematic show at all.
No. I mean, it's very layered, but I will say Rue is like the nicest person ever and truly believed that he was like making our lives better. Like, it was so sincere, and I truly was like, this is a very sweet person. And I had a one-on-one interview with Rue where I tried to make myself cry during it.
Oh my God.
And I like cannot find the episode online anywhere.
Yeah, they wiped it.
They truly did. I can't even like buy it. There's pictures of me online though. My drag name was Smokey St. James.
Love it.
And it was like, I was kind of conflicted about doing it when I first did it because I was like making up crazy shit to say. And I was like, should I do this? And I remember talking with my mom being like, is this like horrible that I'm doing this? And then now it is like the only thing I care that I've done.
Which drag queen made you over?
Mariah.
Mariah.
So it was my episode was Mariah, Raven, and Jujubee. Jujubee, who I am a big fan of.
Huge.
Was great. I feel like the queens did not really want to talk to the contestants off camera, which was fine. But then the other girls I was competing against were both like lovely young women who I like became Facebook friends with. Mm-hmm. And I then was like, oh my God, this sucks that I'm basically doing this as a bit. And then like they seemingly were doing it for real.
Yeah, but you, all three of you like sort of like opted into the same thing.
You all got something out
true.
Of it.
That's true.
It was just different things.
Yeah, I
you just happened
but
to win.
We had a lip sync and I lip synced Let's Get Physical. And I feel like I really, really gave it my all.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that you won.
If I can find it, I will send it to you.
I want to see it. Okay, wait.
Maybe someone listening.
Is that the connection that got RuPaul on your web series?
So RuPaul, that's the first time I met Ru. And then, like, he followed me on Twitter.
Love that.
A few years ago. And I messaged him. I was like, hey, I'm such a big fan. But also, funny thing is that I was this person. He was like, oh, my God, I totally remember you.
Oh, my God.
And then when I was working at The Simpsons last winter, he actually came on and did a voice.
Yes,
and
yes,
it was
yes.
so funny and got to hang out there.
Oh.
I emailed for my web series. I emailed a bunch of famous people, which you will see. Who I am varying degrees of friends with and was like, but like sort of was just like, this is the stupidest possible thing I could ask you for. And some people just immediately email back, like in 2 seconds. Rue in 2 seconds emailed back and sent me
and sent me
this like hilarious clip that was like, girl, I do not think you should be doing this. You seem desperate. It's a really bad look. But honestly, if you want this Emmy, I'm all behind you, bitch. And it was like, I like could not believe it. Yeah. And I was so grateful to these people for playing along.
Yeah, Rue was the only one that tried to talk some sense into
it. I know. Everyone else was like, Megan, you're doing great. Your web series is amazing.
But the Rue thing seems like...
That's because Rue is the truth teller.
Truly.
Rue give you truth.
Yeah. Are you a Drag Race fan?
I am.
Yeah, so to this day, who are you pulling for going forward?
Miss Vanjie.
Miss Vanjie.
She wants Vanjie.
She wants Vanjie.
And she's come back.
She's coming back? Rumor
Well, yeah. rumor has it that she'll be back for season 11.
I should have gotten her on my web series.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, next year my web series is going to be full Drag Race.
We just did a show with Alaska and Jinx Monsoon.
That's
and they
amazing.
Were so nice.
They were so
That's
nice.
Fantastic.
They were great.
We
Megan,
live for them.
We're going to ask you what we ask all of our guests.
Oh, yes. We can't believe we're only getting to it now.
We're only doing it now.
The conversation is rollicking.
It's rollicking, but then we'll ask and then we'll move on.
Okay.
What is the culture that made you say culture is for me? Now, this is to say that it's like a piece of art, a book, a film, a TV show, a neighborhood, you know, whatever.
You woke
amazing.
Up one day
a
and
restaurant.
Opened your window and, and you said, ooh, and this is like the culture that sang back.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, my very, very sincere answer is Stephen Sondheim, which we were playing this game at work last week, which was like, which celebrity, should they die, do you feel complete ownership over? Like, who is the person that for you would be like, this is someone who was in my life to such an intimate extent? And we were trying to list like three people. And I was like, the only person for me is Stephen Sondheim.
Wow.
Which from the time I was like a little kid, my mom is a huge Broadway fan. I'm like a huge Broadway fan,
yes.
if that is not clear. And so introduced me very young, but I just feel like, every stage of my life growing up, I was like, oh, so you can be incredible as a musician and you can be funny and you can be really dark and you can be like sassy with attitude all at the same time and just really clever. And I feel like that sensibility carries out into so many of my different interests.
Yes.
But
also because he always operates in such specific atmospheres. Like that's something like Into the Woods is like just so genius that he took those stories and made it into what it is. Sweeney Todd is for me the best thing I've ever seen in
my life. I agree. I actually have said this multiple times, but I was like, I think Sweeney Todd is the best piece of art that exists, and I'm willing to have this hopefully not argument, but conversation with anyone, which is like, it most successfully accomplishes the thing it's trying to set mm-hmm. out to do. But it's also like, I love things that are like super fun with like an intense edge to them.
Yes.
So that to me, Sweeney Todd in middle school or high school, when I first started listening to it, was like so influential.
Groundbreaking.
Before I moved here, I thought I wanted to move to New York and try to write Broadway theater.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then was like, I guess I'll move to LA instead, but maybe someday I'll move to New York.
A Tony for Meghan.
I'm just trying to knock them out. I really ideally want to get a bit EGOT where like
100%.
I somehow play the system in each of the categories. One of my friends at work pitched that I should make a short film about the making of an Emmy for Meghan and submit it for an Oscar.
Short form documentary subject. Yeah.
Which
perfect.
I'm gonna work on that.
Honestly, you know what I think is the easiest way to win an Oscar?
Huh?
You write a song in a movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is the easiest way.
Like it seems like they are just giving these out.
Giving them out. Sam Smith has an Academy Award.
Make sure Bobby Lopez is not nominated.
Right. As long as Robbie is,
Or like write it for an iconic film.
I wrote.
And it will ride the wave.
Yeah. I wrote for the Oscars this year.
Right.
Which was extremely fun. But mostly like the craziest thing that I saw during this, it also was unbelievable to see it. Like Sufjan Stevens singing in front of me was really amazing.
Amazing.
But for dress rehearsal the day before the Oscars, I did not know this. The musicians come and sing their real songs. Mm-hmm, and so you get like Mary J. Blige singing only to you and like 10 other people
amazing.
In the audience.
Which wild. Is amazing.
But for the, so they can time the winners, they have stand-ins who are extras.
Sure.
Who maybe kind of look like the people who could win.
Right.
Who come up and give fake speeches. But they write them, these stand-ins write them like they are the people winning.
That's so insane.
And no shade on these people. It's like an amazing job. And you get to pretend like you're winning an Oscar.
Oh.
But so like someone would play like Timothy Chalamet or whatever coming up to the stage.
And are they holding a statue?
They get a fake statue and they'll be like, oh my God, thank you so much. I can't believe I'm like the youngest winner or whatever. Like facts about these people's lives.
Oh.
And sometimes they go long and have to get played off. And I was like, this is the most mind-blowing thing I've ever seen.
There are so many layers to that. I can't believe that is done.
I was so obsessed with it. I was like, this needs to be like a Christopher Guest thing.
100%.
It's like the weirdest group. And I also was like, I got the sense that they did feel like they were winning.
Which, again, not trying to make fun of this.
It just was like,
fascinating.
You're on the stage. People just, like Mary J. Blige just sang with the choir. It feels real.
You can't help but like live it a little bit.
Yeah, you're like this might be the closest I get to this. This is amazing.
I did a stand-in for the ABC Upfronts a few years ago. It was the year, like, and they all had us do different, we had to stand in for certain people and read what they were going to be saying off the prompter. So we had to be good at reading off a prompter. And, like, I was playing John Ridley, who created American Crime on ABC, and I had to, like, do the speech that was, like, you know when they announce like a Best Picture nominee, like, and it's like this is American Crime, and you look at the screen.
Oh.
But I literally,
you did that flawlessly.
I was serving you, presenter, and then they were like, someone said to me afterwards, they were like, you really read the copy very well, and it was the best compliment anyone ever gave to me, because you know, as someone who wants to be involved in award shows going forward, I would love to be a presenter. I would love to be a presenter.
Well, now you'll know if you win for real. That you can like talk with the stand, like you'll know how to talk with the stand,
and I'll be able to go up to them as like a talent and be like, I was one of you guys. I know, like this is a lot of standing, it's a lot of sitting standing.
Yeah.
It never goes away.
I get it. And somebody will be like me right now, winning Best Webby.
Best Webby. This bit we got, I'm obsessed.
We got
for Meghan.
Thank you.
We have to make it happen. It could span a career. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
What is the best version of Sweeney Todd that you've seen?
Oh.
Because I have an opinion.
This is I saw two different productions of the one that's on off Broadway right now at that church.
Yeah, I think.
I forgot what it's called. Barrow Theater.
Barrow Theater.
And that was a really. I thought that was a great production.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's so intimate, you're basically sitting in the stage and they like serve you pie and stuff. I am like just truly partial to the original, which my mom, a huge musical theater person, she has said that the best day of her life was giving birth to me and my twin brother.
Oh.
And the second best day of her life was when she was like 20 and saw the original Broadway production of Sweeney Todd and like was like crying at the end by how much she loved it. But
it's so emotional.
It's wow. just like Angela Lansbury, who is just truly a queen, was like so good at embodying the comedy of Mrs. Lovett, but then also the like true desperation of her.
Yeah, ultimate
and,
tragedy.
Like, has a great voice. And I just think, like, as a performer, she's so warm and funny. And there's very few people like that where I really just, like, love them. And they're not larger than... Like, Patti LuPone is amazing, but she's, like, hilarious. Because she's so larger than life that you're like, that's Patti LuPone.
Mm-hmm. But Angela is more sort of subtle in the way.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. What's your production?
My favorite that I will sit down and watch the whole thing, like, maybe... 3 or 4 times a year is the concert version with Patti LuPone and George Hearn and Neil Patrick Harris. Yeah. And I think that is amazing. To me, and what's emblematic of what's so great about that is Patti LuPone's performance of Worst Pies in London.
Yeah.
Because of what you said, like the broad kind of like genius execution of comedy there while she's singing in this operatic style, just note perfectly, telling the story. Because sometimes with Angela Lansbury, and this is, and listen.
Uh-oh.
Listen. It's fine.
Safe space.
It's fine. It's a safe space. Okay. I trust my sisters.
Okay.
I have a hard time, and this is my problem with Helena Bonham Carter in the movie, I have a hard time hearing exactly what every single word is. But Patti LuPone is... Wasp pies in London. Like she's just giving you, she is giving you
really
every consonant.
Right into that.
Oh no, incredible actor.
Yeah.
For your consideration. No, but for me, that number and that whole show, that performance of it, I just love because they lean into the comedy, and I think it's so funny, but it's also so scary and dark. And also, I love that it's just everyone's in like studio blacks, and they're just like doing the thing, and like I think it
just
works.
Can we put
so
on
well.
A Las Culturistas production of Sweeney Todd?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
We can.
Yes. I really would love to. I feel
you
like
would be
is,
amazing, Mrs. Lovett.
I'd love to be a Lovett.
You would be great.
And then you guys can be whoever
you
want.
You should
be
Sweeney. You should be Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, because you're evil and dark.
Because I'm evil and dark.
Yeah.
And I think that.
I
think I'll be. And Toby. Don't. Okay. No one yell. But I think I want to be Joanna.
Oh, that would be beautiful.
Okay, I see that.
I think I want to be Joanna.
Wait, one more thing about Sweeney Todd, and then I promise we'll stop talking about it.
No, this is your culture.
One of my friends who's a Broadway fan brought up that he is 100% certain that Sweeney Todd and Mrs. Lovett have fucked by the end of the show. Like that.
This is a big discussion.
And I was like blown away.
Okay.
Because I never once considered that in my entire life of listening to every single note of this show. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, it's clear to me that he has no use for her and that she is very, like, obsessed with how withholding he is and just, like, keeps doing stuff for him. Like, maybe I've been in the place of having an unrequited crush one or twice. Where it's just, like, no one is giving you anything. So you're just like, I'll do anything for you. I'll go get you a sandwich from CVS. Yeah.
And you keep filling the well, but nothing. Well. Yeah.
So what I always assumed she was.
Okay.
But then they were like, no, he doesn't like her, but he's just like, they're in a relationship or whatever.
Yeah.
And that seemed crazy.
My AP Lit teacher had a take on this. She
did
said,
you study Sweeney Todd?
Well, this is when my AP Lit teacher.
This is when the movie came out.
You went to gay school?
I went to gay school. No, but I was so lucky because, and this is actually an insane story, but I took AP Lit in high school and she like had us read all these amazing novels and everything. But then she was like, we're going to actually stop the curriculum and you guys are going to
go see the movie.
Sweeney Todd was coming out the movie. And she was like, everyone go see the movie this weekend and then we'll talk about Stephen Sondheim and Sweeney Todd because what he does is in a way literature.
Yeah.
And so I went and saw it and the movie was like my first time ever seeing the story of it all the way through. And I do look back on the movie and I understand what it is, but I have like a dislike of it.
The movie sucks.
The movie sucks.
Bad, yeah.
I was trying to like tiptoe around that, but the movie sucks. But she was like, in this movie, those characters have fucked. And she was like, in other forms of it, like in the first Sweeney Todd, I don't think they fucked. But in this movie, they fucked. It just depends on whatever.
Interesting.
And I was like, what's making you say that? And she's like, look at the way that like she's covetous of him. But like, it's like a more casual lived in thing. Like you get the sense that looking at those two actors, those
and
are like two characters that have touched
each other. And she also is a little more sexual than Angela Lansbury plays her, which is like
zany.
Matronly and zany.
Yeah.
I can tell you that in our production, me and Bowen will have fucked.
Fucked, yeah. No, it's going to be really overtly sexual.
It will
sexual.
Be overt and possibly on stage.
Yeah, possibly. Well, Stephen Sondheim will send us a letter. He sends letters. They were going to do an all-male company at NYU.
Well, here's the thing. Oh, sorry. I don't mean to
interrupt. No, but he sent an email and it stopped.
As I explained at the beginning of this, when I flew to New York last weekend to see all of Angels in America in one day, I then was reading, which I really loved. I was reading about the director, whose name is Marianne Elliott, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I was reading about her, and they were saying that she managed to convince Sondheim to put on a all-female company that they're doing in the West End.
Yes, I have heard about this.
And she's such a talented director, and I'm, like, unbelievably excited for it, and I feel like maybe I'm cast. I don't know if they've told people yet. I haven't, like, auditioned, and no one knows who I am.
Would you want to be a Bobby?
I don't think I'd be – I think, truly, I should just always play crazy people. So, like
– You should be Elaine Stretch.
I would love to
play – You would do
play,
Ladies Who Lunch like
I would,
a yeah. boss.
I do it. I do so it good. Not even when I'm supposed to be doing it. I'd come in during someone else's song and just start doing it.
Oh my God. I love company. No, see.
I do too.
Can I admit something sinful?
Yeah.
Have never seen any iteration of Sweeney Todd besides the movie, and it like completely ruined it for me.
I'll send you the link.
Send me the link. Because now they're putting up all like the original productions on YouTube, and you can watch the whole thing. I spent one day just like getting stoned and watching all of Sunday in the Park, like Bernadette, Mandy, and it was the best.
I've seen so many bootleg Broadway shows on YouTube, which is like a sign of like true obsession. Mm-hmm. Is like me and like one of my best friends from school would just watch like Wicked taped on a camcorder in the back row, and you just like see half of someone's head in it. And I just like craved it so much, I had to watch it. There's also me and my roommate. There's like a 2-hour supercut of everyone who's played Elphaba.
I was just gonna say, I've seen
like "And I" from The Wizard and I, and it is like so funny. But then also genuinely, you're just like, that was great. That was
okay.
Nasal.
Yeah,
that's a great riff. I haven't heard that one before.
I have seen every single Defying Gravity performance.
Yeah,
and there is one single one that is the best. Her name is Brandi Chavon Massey.
Yeah, you do.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
And she
embellishes the fuck out of it.
She was an understudy who got her moment, darling. And she told everyone when she said, she's like, if I'm going on, I will be unforgettable. Don't know if it'll be good. Don't know if it will be the song.
But it will be unforgettable.
But it will be unforgettable.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor. Listen to the last 2 minutes of Brandi Chavon Massey's only Defying Gravity.
It's wild.
It is full out.
I did not realize she only did it once.
So the way that you do the last riff is.
Well, no, she even
she.
And the lead up to it.
And the lead up to it is, it's a wild ride and we are on it.
Yeah.
But the last, the riff that she decided to do instead of was. And I was just like, oh my God, you hear her throat rip in half. Honestly, everyone in the audience is dead.
It's like, you don't just keep having to go up. Like,
and everyone's like, you can tell, the whole company was like, they were just like, oh my God, no one survived. Nobody survived that note.
That's like the end of Black Swan.
Oh,
yes.
Leave it all out on the stage.
No, she can't possibly have done Act Two after that.
She did.
She's no way she's singing No Good Deed after the experience that was.
I'm like flop sweating thinking about her doing that.
Everyone,
like so overwhelmed.
Go YouTube it. It is a moment in time.
A moment in time.
And also, like, that's such an... It's like trash, but Wicked is so...
Oh, I love Wicked.
It's so good.
I think it's clever. I think it's good.
I think it's definitely clever. There's definitely like 4 or 5 songs when you're like, oh my
God.
Sure,
but people just shit on Wicked.
Wonderful.
It's like a WNBA... Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like a WNBA thing. People shit on it all the time. It's a punchline now, but it's still, it's so good.
No, first of all, like, I truly think it's such a good story of like female friendship.
Yes.
It's like a really great It's like not about the romance, really. And I think that's so fun.
It's about aspiration.
I definitely want to play like Fat Glinda. That's like another one of like my ideal. I mean, I won't say I'm fat. I'll say that I'm a big Glinda.
Glinda was never like weight specific, though.
I know. I just feel like every Glinda I've seen has been so tiny.
Oh. But I feel like Megan Hilty has hips.
I'm like a 5'8", like I broke a chair, as I said earlier. I'm just like a dense woman.
And then you want to play Jewish Glinda.
Yeah, I want to play Jewish Glinda.
I think that's a great idea. Okay, so we're talking about doing...
No.
We're talking about staging Wicked.
Yeah.
And you play Elphaba in Act 1, and I do Elphaba in Act 2, and we switch roles. So we do Glinda, Elphaba,
that's
Elphaba,
amazing.
Glinda.
I don't like that. I think it's too... You're like, It's like, I think it's a weekend of shows, and then one night we play one
like
iteration.
Like in rep, yeah.
I don't like that, like, and I don't like that, and I won't do that. I don't like that, and I won't do that.
I think you should switch off mid-scene. Like, I think you need to start, like, playing with it. Where, like, but I also obviously want the two Elphabas to, like, get in a fight.
Yeah,
like I just kind of want this.
You want the whole show to break down and become about a behind-the-scenes meltdown.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that, too.
Okay, before we move on to
Deconstructed Wicked.
Yeah. Deconstructed Wicked. Before we move on, what did you think of Angels?
I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
I did. This is, like, I had heard a lot of amazing things about Andrew Garfield, who I did not like.
Sure.
My hot take is like, why is he doing what I felt like was a caricature? Mm. It that was just my personal reaction. I felt like I was watching him doing this character and being like, I'm Andrew Garfield, and look at how much I'm putting myself through to play Prior Walter.
Yeah.
The guy who played Lewis, who I had never seen before, and it turns out is like a Scottish guy playing a flawless
American,
like Jewish nebbishy guy.
Yeah.
Was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I kept thinking that he was forgetting his lines because he was so natural on stage. And also, like, I am not a good actor. I'm a good web series actor. I'm a good, I think,
Emmy-worthy.
Like, Emmy-worthy actor.
Theater comedy actor. I'm not, like, someone
stage.
Who has, like, figured out what all the lines mean.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The thought of going over a script and being like, what is this person trying to say? I'm like, no, just say a joke.
Yeah.
But so when I see actual good acting, I'm like so blown away by it. And also just seeing 10 hours of theater is like,
oh my God.
All like literally, I went to New York, red eye, got in Saturday, saw 10 hours of theater and left on Sunday. And it was like so soothing. And you don't get that in LA.
That is a pilgrimage.
Yeah.
It's literally like a religious journey.
I live my brand.
Do people usually see it in one day, or do they do it on two different days?
People have been doing it. Like Josh saw it, like did the whole one day thing.
And all in one day?
Seven hours.
I think it's good to do it all in one day because it truly, like, you forget about the world.
Okay.
You're just like, and also because you're watching these actors having memorized two full, like, 4-hour plays.
Oh,
it's unbelievable.
God.
I like have a horrible memory. I don't remember how I got to this podcast. Yeah. I like floated here somehow. The thought of like having to memorize that many words is crazy.
It's very scary. But you were very good at memorizing the very real script.
The script.
Yeah. Like, for like 3-minute episodes, I'm really actually very good at memorizing scripts.
Yeah.
But the scripts, I mean, I wrote the scripts, so I think it's easier when
you write the scripts out.
Which is why I always demand to be the writer and actor on all my projects.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If I'm ever like lucky enough to book anything, I'll just tell them, great. And I have to go come in and just quickly rewrite the whole script. And
then it's yours.
And then it's mine.
It's in your bones.
It'd just be easier for me to memorize.
Of course.
That's all.
Wow. This I literally could go on.
For many hours. But here's the good news. And it's tonight, people. Is I Don't Think So, Honey, live at the Echoplex. So if you want more of all of this, you can come out to the Echoplex tonight. Doors open at 8 p.m. And the show will begin at 9 p.m. And Megan Amram is going to be there.
I love that it's Saturday right now, but we can be like tonight.
Yeah, right.
When you're listening, it's going to be Tuesday.
That's an industry conceit for everyone at
home. People who listen after Tuesday, they can still hear us say tonight.
Yeah. Fine. If it's Tuesday, June 12th, guys, it's tonight. If it's any other time, disregard.
Do not go.
Disregard.
To
the go to the Echoplex. You're going to see some rock band.
Of course. Oh, and we got our dates mixed up. This is not coming out June 10th. It's coming out June 12th, a day after Emmy voting opens.
Okay.
So right. But you can still vote on the 12th.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
you can vote until
like
another
the 24th.
Day. Yeah. If you're an Emmy voter, it's really important that you click on that little box that says Megan Amram, an Emmy for Megan.
There you go.
But you guys also, villains of Megan's life, Andrew Law and Darcy Carden will both be there as
right.
well.
Oh, so fun.
So
fantastic.
It'll be great.
And more.
And more.
But it's time for I Don't Think So, Honey. And what is I Don't Think So, Honey, Bo?
I Don't Think So, Honey is our segment where we take 1 minute to rail against something in culture while saying the words I Don't Think So, Honey. So, Matt, do you have something?
I do. And it's not necessarily figured out, but I feel like I could talk a lot about
this. Me too. I'm on the same boat. But let's. Do you want to start first? You want to go first? This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt song. Okay, so let's just briefly go through what this is. John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, his name is my name too. Whenever we go out, the people always shout, they say John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, na 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 na. Okay, first of all, who named their kid this? Second of all, very unlikely, I Don't Think So, Honey, that someone else has that name. His name is my name too. You're going to run into someone with John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. I think that there's a lot of questions about the reality of this. This is not a grounded reality. Furthermore, his name is my name too. Whenever we go out, so now what? What connects you? The fact that your name is the same thing?
That's all
of
weird.
Us. I know
that's,
lots
that's
of Matts
weird.
That I hate.
Wow.
I would not go hang out with them. Whenever we go out, which apparently it's a lot. People always shout, they say John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, nah, 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 nah. Where the fuck do you live? This is a really aggressive area and you need to move. I Don't Think So, Honey, the way you're living your life.
5 seconds.
Get a better friend with a more dynamic name that's real and stop with this toxic energy.
And that's 1 minute.
I really don't like that song.
So, so powerful.
So powerful.
I don't like
Thank
that
you.
Song at all.
Thank you for that service.
You're welcome.
You know, it's like a pub song though.
Yeah, but I don't like pubs. I Don't Think So, Honey, pubs. Okay. I think it's a place where everyone goes and drinks.
Sure. I mean, just by design.
Ugh, that's disgusting.
Okay.
This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey, and his time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, motorized scooters in Santa Monica, they're everywhere, and someone told me at a general, they go, what are you doing after this? I go, I'm in Santa Monica, I'll go down to the pier, of course, I have to get a little pier stroll in, and they go, you have to use Bird, it's this app, it's this service, you rent a motorized scooter, they're everywhere, you just hop on one and go, and I go, great, that sounds wonderful, and I said, oh, but my family, we have bad luck with wheeled vehicles, with like, you know, things you would have to wear a helmet for. And he goes, no, it's fine, it's safe, do it. I go, I figure it out, I download the app, I pay $3 for it, and it was truly a terrifying experience. Okay. I thought I was gonna die, get hit by a car on Colorado Avenue, bitch.
15 seconds.
It was truly wild. My judgment got the better of me. I said, I cannot do this. My grandmother got hit by a bus in China.
Oh my God.
While she was on a bicycle. My mother got hit by a bus when she was in China. I am not about to get hit on a Bird scooter while I'm in Santa Monica.
And that's
1 minute.
I don't
think so many Bird motorized scooters.
That's 1 minute. Oh, also, I think there's a real issue in America that we are not talking about.
What's
and
that?
It's this thing of allowing everyone to just get on a city bike,
no.
allowing everyone to just get on a scooter. Like, you guys, these are hard things to drive. Usually need a license.
Okay.
And now
it's time for Megan Amram. Megan, are you ready?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that I'll just do it.
Everyone's really, okay. really concerned with like making
I'm
sure
so
that
nervous.
It's something new.
It
doesn't matter. Okay, this is Megan Amram's I Don't Think So, Honey. Her time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Hello Kitty, you white bitch. I always said that I loved her. First of all, she doesn't have a fucking mouth.
Nope.
Like, you are just being such a passive aggressive bitch. You're not even willing to say what you goddamn think.
No.
Also, you are always turned in profile. I think it's like super fucked up. You will not just like look me straight in the eye, you white bitch.
White bitch.
Also, Hello Kitty's name is Kitty White. She's in third grade and she is the size of three apples. I think it is so honestly insane that you're measuring your weight in apples.
30 seconds.
Anyone could be any amount of apples, but give me your pounds because then I will know if you're really fat, you bitch. I also just think this is the most fucked up thing. Hello Kitty has a cat named Charmy Kitty that is her pet. That is a slave. Hello Kitty has a slave because she has a cat as a pet. It looks more like a real cat than she does. And I know that people have tried to say that she's not a cat. She is, and she owns another cat.
Seconds.
Free Charmy. That's all I have to say.
Oh my
Hashtag
God.
Free Charmy, you Hello Kitty bitch.
Okay, so that's 1 minute. So what you're saying is that Hello Kitty is a white supremacist.
No, she's just white.
No, and honestly, this whole thing is also fucked up because I love Hello
you
Kitty.
Love Hello
and
Kitty.
I'm literally wearing Hello Kitty socks right now.
Oh my
but
God.
I do think she needs to just like be real.
She
oh
needs to
my
be real.
God.
My sister is going to be mortified to hear. Well, she's going to be relieved to hear you say that you actually love Hello Kitty.
I mean, I'm going to show you my socks.
My Please.
Like, oh, yes. I like, love Hello Kitty.
Wait. So you're wearing a sock that is very low cut. How do they stay on your feet? I can never figure these socks out.
They don't really make Hello Kitty socks for like size 11 that's women's bullshit. Feet.
Look, the Sanrio universe is fucked up. It's a bit that all the creators are like, Hello Kitty's not actually a cat. She's a person.
I think, very honestly, that's like a lost in translation. Like, she anthropomorphized cat.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Where she is like clearly a girl cat, like she goes to school.
Yeah.
But
she has relationships.
So she's not
with
like
people.
A pet cat, but I think it's crazy that she has a pet cat.
Charming.
It's like if Goofy's pet was Pluto. That's I think the closest analogy.
But Mickey's pet is Pluto.
Yeah, which is like still weird because they're both animals.
Those
are both dog. Like Goofy
a mouse and, owning a dog is fine.
Yes,
but a dog owning a dog is crazy.
Yes.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
Absolutely.
Wait, okay, so how do we think Hello Kitty came to be? Did a person fuck a cat?
No.
They haven't gone into the origin story yet. I want to make a dark, like, Batman Begins, Christopher Nolan movie about Hello Kitty.
Yeah. Oh.
But apparently she doesn't have a mouth because they want you to be able to put your own emotions onto her.
I don't like that.
No.
Have your own emotions. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Don't make Hello Kitty a blank
Don't
canvas.
Don't make me do your work for you.
Exactly.
I'm not your maid.
Unless you're giving me a check. And last I checked, you have to pay for Hello Kitty memorabilia.
Hello Kitty, you white bitch. I think that's one of my favorite. Bitch. I don't think so.
And also, as a Korean-American woman,
yes.
you were empowered to say that.
About this Japanese
It's a Japanese
company.
Franchise.
Yeah.
but as a beautiful Korean-American.
I said what I said.
Yeah.
Wow, what a thrilling episode.
This is very thrilling. We got into past culture and we got into present culture. And we should say again, if you have not watched an Emmy for Megan, then you don't get it.
And that's future culture.
It's really
No,
easy.
It's out right now. You can watch it right now.
Get to
now.
The website, www.anemmyformegan.com.
Right. I watched it on Vimeo. Is that okay?
That's how I prefer it to be watched.
Okay.
Built it by hand.
Yeah. Built it by hand. Well, there you go. And you can see guest spots from, and I'm quoting you, that fucking bitch, Darcy Carden, who kills, which I think is amazing writing. And I also think the best line of the whole thing is, you should win an Emmy for best betrayal.
Thank you.
As you're foaming at the mouth. Amazing.
Yeah, I wrote that.
You wrote that.
Yeah.
And I guess because we do end every episode with the song.
Oh.
I think we know what we're gonna do.
Here we go.
Bum 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 bum. So if you care to find me, look to the western sky. Has someone told me lately? Everyone deserves a chance to fly. And if I'm flying solo, at least I'm flying free. To those who ground me, take a message back from me. Tell them how I am defying gravity. I'm flying high, defying gravity. And soon I'll match them in renown. And nobody in all of us, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
YouTube, Brandi Siobhan Massey. Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.